And I hope that you're thankful. If you're saved, you're doubly blessed. Now, I've been told, somebody's told me, Brother Earl by name, that since the service went so long last week, I told somebody we actually got out of church in time last week to go to Thanksgiving supper. You know, that's about what it was. But since service went so long last week, I have to be through at 11:30. And it's 11:31 right now, so we ain't going to make it by that time schedule. But I promise, Lord willing, I'm not going to keep you near that long. But we had a great service. And I think it's every now and then we need a good, memorable service that really stirs us. And those guys, again, for 25 years, we've been going on Monday nights, and we get a good dose of church and fellowship and family and preaching on Sunday, and we go out there on Monday and get an added dose like that. Man, it just infuses life into you. I mean, when y'all just depress me on Sunday, I'd go out there on Monday and get livened up. And I'm kidding. But it was always good, and it's such a thrill for you to be able to meet some of those guys that are not just jailhouse religion. They're not. It's not just about, I'm going to call on the Lord because I want to get out of jail and go back to my old way of life. Their lives are changed because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them. And they're open to testify about it, and we'll have them back. And we plan on having them back on a regular basis. Normally, we do it like once a year, but we had to reschedule so Brother Jamie could be here with us. And he's wild, man, ain't he? I don't think I got his dance moves down yet, but I'm going to work on them and see what I can do. But it was a great time, and thank y'all for having open arms of love and fellowship and not treating them like I can't touch you because you're an ex-inmate. Realize this much, but by the grace of God, that could have been you behind bars. And listen, many of them realize this. If they could do it all over again, they would not repeat the behavior. That's part of, I think, the definition of repentance. If I had a chance to do this again, I would go down that path. I'd turn and change my ways. And they had to do the time, but they have certainly changed their ways. For the message this morning, let's get in our Bibles. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It may seem like an unusual place to bring a message related to Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving. We've talked a little bit about both of those. But I want to read the first five verses found here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. So when you get there, would you just say amen? Here we go, beginning in verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. In the midst of that list of things, there is what I would call one bad apple. In the midst of all those things, there's a lot of bad things mentioned, but one that we probably wouldn't characterize as being in the group. That's found in verse number 2, the word unthankful. Now, I have up here on the pulpit for a little object lesson for those of you that like pictures instead of sermons, all right? We have one good apple, and we have one rotten, bruised apple. Now, we're up closer, you can see the bruises and the marks on this one. And I don't know if you realize or not, but sometimes around Thanksgiving, among the many dishes that might be served, might be some apples. They might be sliced up so you can dip them in some special sweet stuff. There might be an apple pie there somewhere. But somewhere along the way, there's that or some other kind of fruit that's used. I just chose apples. And it's great when you got a good one. But I tell you something that can ruin a meal or something that you got to cast out. When you find a rotten apple, you can't use it in your cooking. You can't use it in the process. You just got to take that one and throw it out. And I want to suggest to us this morning that there is one rotten apple that gets in our lives that we just need to get rid of, and that's the rotten apple of unthankfulness. And I want to preach to you about that this morning. In this list of the sins of the last days, right in the middle of the group, he uses that word unthankful, and that will characterize things in the last days. Seems like he pulls it out of the bag and said, here's a bad apple. We're not going to use that for our life. Now, a relationship can be affected by an unthankful spirit. Your Christian walk and unthankful attitudes can certainly be detrimental to any kind of testimony you want to have for God. We need it removed. And so I'm going to share with you some things today. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And in the moments I have, I pray, God, that you by the Holy Spirit will speak to each and every heart and bring home to all of us, not about other people, not about those around us, not about our spouse, not about our children, our parents, or even our nation, but Lord, just about us. And God, help us to get that rotten apple of an unthankful spirit and attitude out of our heart and mind. And God, we'll be careful to give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I want to bring to your attention is the rotten attitude that we're talking about when it comes to unthankfulness. When I read this found in these verses, I understand that that word unthankful carries with it more than just you don't say thank you. You see, I believe you could be a person that even uses the word thank you, and yet your attitude, your spirit down inside might not be a thankful spirit. You know, just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you're one. Just because you say you're thankful doesn't really mean that you are. Sometimes it's just the thing to do. It's just what everybody else is doing. It's what's a part of the service, or it's that time of year when we all say thank you about something. Maybe you go to a restaurant and on a regular basis, you were just raised this way. It's part of your manners. A waitress brings you a menu or a drink or the food and you just turn and say thank you. It's out of habit that we do it. And there's nothing wrong. It's a good habit to teach your children that they learn to actually say the words, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. That's a good thing. But if all it is a word, it's just something we're saying, but we don't really feel it down inside. I did a little study on this word. It comes to mean more than just what we would characterize in our English language. It carries with it the idea of being ungracious toward others and being unpleasing in your own spirit. Have you ever met somebody that just cannot be pleased? It don't matter what. Now, that's not just teenagers I'm talking about today. I know that's the first one you thought about. I'm talking about all human beings, men, women, boys, and girls, that they just have that attitude about them that no matter what you do, you cannot seem to make them happy. Now listen, their wives, their husbands can't please them, their children can't please them, their boss can't please them, their friends can't please them, their loved ones can't please them, and no matter where you go, even seems like God and angels can't please them. They have an unpleasable spirit. That's the meaning of this word. You see, it's a little bit deeper than just not saying thank you. It means there's an attitude inside the person that is unthankful, that no matter what you do, they cannot be happy. Now, they can produce a smile occasionally. They can laugh at a joke every now and then. They can get in the swing of things when the whole group's laughing. They'll laugh along. They participate in it. But the truth is, deep down inside, they're not happy. They're not joyful. Something's missing. Maybe it is that they need to be saved. Maybe it is that they need to get right with God. Maybe it is they need to just surrender and submit to whatever God has brought into their life. Somebody said it this way, an unpleasable spirit like that is like bacteria in the soul. It's like corruption in the mind. It's a cancer in the body. It's a sour odor that is offensive to heaven and to earth. It's a vile juice that contaminates everything around it. It's an unholy stain that cannot be hidden from God or men. And in the end, it is a valueless mush that can only be cast out as waste like a rotten apple. And I don't know about you, but I've seen it in other people, but I've also seen it in me. That there are times when it seems like nothing seems to fit. Nothing seems to work. Nothing seems to make me as happy as I would like to be. I guess I may be having to admit this, that sometimes I'm grumbling even about the providence of God and what He's brought into my life. Now, granted, I bring enough trouble on myself. A lot of people in this world do. We commit sins, iniquity, transgression against God, and that invites chastening. Even just from the you reap what you sow. I mean, we've all made mistakes and as a result had to suffer from it. But there are some times that God allows hardships in our life that we didn't necessarily invite. We didn't go looking for them. Brother Christensen in Waycross. He didn't go looking and said, let me see if I can find cancer. Would somebody put that in my body? He didn't go looking for that. He's not searching for it. He's not desirous of it. But it came into his life. He's in his late 50s. I mean, he may turn 60 this year. I don't know exactly when his birthday is. But again, that's quite young. Now, some of you that are 25 or 15, you don't think that's very young. But the truth is, Opa was, what, 88 when he passed? So compare 58, 59, 60 to 88. That's like almost a short lifetime for some to live beyond there. So it's very young. He didn't invite that. And yet, though he doesn't like it, he doesn't want it, he's begged God to take it away. I have never been around him that he has showed a grumbling, unpleasable, why can't they fix this? How come God let this happen to me? Why doesn't the doctors decide, figure something out? Preacher, this just ain't fair. Not one time has that ever crawled out of his mouth. I've never seen that on his face, never seen that in his attitude. Now you say, well, that's a great tribute to him. If you were to say that to him, he'd say this. No, no, no. That's a great tribute to my God who changed my life years ago and forgave me all my sin and gave me a place of service. All he was, the last time he was in this building, he sat right back there in the back, and we talked for a few minutes, and he said this. He said, all I want right now is just for God to get glory out of however much life I have left. I don't know about you, but that's over my head. I'm not at that place. God has given that man dying grace. I'm not ready for that yet. But God's given him, at a moment when he's facing death, has given him some dying grace. So he does not grumble about what providence has brought into his life. He's not complaining about the arrangements of God's divine wisdom and what the Lord has sent his way. We've all been forgetful and slow in expressing our gratitude to God, I'm sure, for all of his kindness. But we need to guard against the kind of rottenness that creeps into an apple and destroys it from the inside. And I'm afraid many of us have let that happen. I'm saying this much. It's not just this. Could you imagine for just a moment if we show an attitude of unpleasableness to God? God, no matter what you do for me, I'm going to grumble. No matter what you give me, I want more. No matter what you send my way, I'm going to find fault with it. Sometimes that just becomes a part of our attitude, and we're that way all the time. I wonder, does that make us then pleasing to Him? I think when we have an unpleasable, therefore an unthankful spirit, an attitude that permeates everything we do, we are not then pleasing to God like we should be. I don't know about you, but I want to be pleasing to Him. And I think you do too. Is He pleased with me? Not just am I pleased with what God's given me, but is God pleased with me? I think we need to turn this around. We're not God that dictates to Him what to do. He is Almighty God that dictates to us what to do. And I think in that is a whole level of submission. And that is this. Sometimes when we're unpleasable and we cannot find any joy or happiness and we're totally unthankful, I think it shows that we have an unsubmissive spirit, not willing to accept what the Lord has sent our way. Let me show you number two. Not only is there a rotten attitude here, but I also see a rotten age. It said in verse number one, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, in fairness, to learn a little bit about apples, did a little bit of research, and it said that a rotten apple is often the product of its environment. For instance, if it's too wet in the environment around the ground and so forth and too much rain, if it gets too wet in the apple orchard, then you can get what's called wet rot. If it gets too dry or parched, you get what is called dry rot. And obviously, a worm could be an apple that causes spoiling it, or even a bee that might sting an apple can often cause a bruise, and therefore that'll get further and further down into the apple and bring about a big problem. I don't know about you, but if we're not careful, we'll let the age, the environment that we're living in today. I believe we're living in the last days. Now, I'm not a date setter, but I believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, and I believe it's certainly nearer than it's ever been, and I think the circumstances of this age described in these verses fit the current time we're living in, and so it makes me believe we're living in the last days. Is Jesus coming today? I believe He could, but I don't know. I'm not a date setter. I don't follow anybody that is a date setter. Back in 1988, that fellow Ed Edgar Wisnet or something came out with a book, 88 Reasons Jesus Was Coming in 1988. Those books were real cheap in 1989, by the way. But about a year ago, somebody came out with one that I think this past August or September 2017, like September the 21st, Jesus was supposed to break through the blue and come. Mark this down. People that set dates, and if they ever miss one, which they have, then they're proven by the Bible to be a false prophet. In the Bible, a prophet had to be right, listen carefully, 100% of the time. If he was ever wrong on one thing, he was marked as a false prophet. Now that sounds harsh in our day, but people who are date setters, these dates don't come true, they're false prophets. They're not giving you the truth about that. So I'm not about to be a date setter, but I'm here to tell you, I believe that the description of the last days that I read to you, would you look at them with me again? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Listen, 20 years ago there was no such animal as a selfie. I don't do the Facebook thing, but I've seen a few Facebook photos that people do. This is not the right, I'm looking at this, that's not that person. How they do their face. You know, they make these god-awful looks, you know. Some of them are trying to be glamorous and cool, you know, when they look. And some of them, I think, are trying to look alluring or seductive, and they just look stupid. I think you'd be better off. Now, if I see Jesse's and it looks seductive, something's wrong with me, first of all, okay? Something's wrong with him doing that. But I'm just saying, sometimes I think you'd be better off just to put your name there instead of some dumb-looking picture. Now, if it's your family photo or something like that or a couple, that's a little bit different. But some of them, y'all know what I'm talking about. The fact that y'all know what I'm talking about realizes, and I just believe, it's this whole, I love me. When you take, I'm just going to say this, when you take more pictures of you than you do anybody else, you love you. Maybe you love you a little too much. Well, nobody else loves me, so I've got to love myself. What? You are crazy. You need some medication. Lovers of their own selves, covetous. Oh, I'm sure that doesn't describe today. Boasters. All you got to do is watch the NFL. Boasters, braggarts. How about this? Proud, blasphemers. My goodness alive, there's certain words now you can't say, and they only say the first letter of the word. They name the letter, and you're not supposed to say that word. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And that's fine. But how come one word became taboo, and all these other filthy four-letter words ain't? I don't understand that. Why is this one word so bad, and all these others that are used in every kind of rap song in the world, why are those words all right? I'm here to tell you, all of them's wrong, all of them's bad, and that's the kind of culture we live in. My point is, if we live in amongst this mess that this world is, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, I think without natural affection would include the homosexuals of today. It's natural for men and women to love each other. But it is not natural for men and women and women. Romans chapter 1 tells you this, and Romans chapter 1 brings about the judgment of God on such lifestyles. True. But by the way, let me say this. Without natural affection, I think would also include something that I never saw as a boy growing up, where a mother would have a child and throw the child in the dumpster. It's natural for a mother to love their child. But it is not natural for a mother to take that child and throw it in the dumpster and try and flush it down a toilet. And that's the kind of age we're living in. My point is, if we live in amongst this kind of age, if we're not careful, there'll be so much wetness of filth, it'll rotten us like a wet rot would do to an apple. Or so parched with the lack of godliness that it's just dry bones. It'll bring about dry rot. It'll be a bee sting, if you would, that can damage something from the enemy, the devil, that can injure and cause us a problem. Again, we don't have time to read every one of these, but there's certainly more there you can look at later of the age in which we're living in. That word perilous carries with the idea of fear, savage, or harsh. It's used only one other time in the New Testament, and it's used in connection with the maniac of Gadara. In other words, perilous times are maniacal times, crazy times, demonic times, an age in which Satan seems to be prevalent on the front page of our lives. He's right there. Mark this down. If you're not careful about the TV programs that you watch and you let your children watch, if you're not careful about the movies that you let your kids watch or that you watch, eventually all that filth that's out there in the world will get into your mind, eye gate, and ear gate. That's why I believe with all my heart, parents, you are responsible for what you let your children watch and listen to in your home. And if you don't want them to have a rotten attitude, then you've got to guard them against the rotten age that we live in and say, look, son, look, honey, there's these things we don't want in our home. One day when you move out and you're under your own roof, you can do what you want to. But while you're under our roof, this is what we'd like to see. We want to clean this up. We want this to be good. We don't want anything that would look like the age in which we're living. A third thing would be this. I'm just saying these demonic elements certainly can destroy a once grateful spirit. Not only attitude and age, but number three, association. It is interesting to me to look at the sins that are associated, and I've read some of them. Let me read a few more. I've stopped with without natural affection in verse 3. It says truce breakers, people that can't keep their word. False accusers, people that are always lying and accusing other people. And there's a lot of accusations being made now, some of which are true in the news media about politicians. If they're guilty, throw the book at them, as far as I'm concerned. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm just saying this much. There's a lot of people today, in the age we live in, things don't even have to be true nowadays. You can just accuse somebody, and next thing you know, someone's life and testimony could be ruined. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. She just made good two shoes. Try and live right and godly, you'll have somebody make fun of you and ridicule you for trying to do the right thing. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Doesn't that kind of give you the idea that we shouldn't associate with those things? And yet unthankfulness, the very thing I'm talking about, is associated with these other vile things. Most of us, me included, would not think of unthankfulness as being that bad a sin. And yet look at the list in which it is found around all those other things. Unthankfulness, someone said, is as vile as selfishness, greed, pride, slander, and any other form of sinfulness. Unthankfulness portrays a life, I like this thought I read, portrays a life that feels it can get along without God. When I read this, God's absent. When I read this, He ain't needed. When I read this, we want to be left alone. Let us do our thing, have our fun. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Divorcing our life. We don't need the Lord. I don't need His input. I don't need His involvement. I certainly don't need Him telling me what to do. I got to change my lifestyle because God in heaven said I had to. That attitude that so is prevalent today in our age sort of suggests that idea. I can get along without God. There's a whole lot of people seem to think that. I listened this week to a young man who one of his ways of witnessing was this. Especially when he was talking to an atheist. He said this. He said, my question now to the atheist is this. If Christianity were true. Now y'all don't think it is. You're an atheist. But if Christianity were really true, would you believe it? He said some of them stop and think and ponder. But he said every now and then he'll run into one and say, no. Even if it was true, I don't want nothing to do with it. Do you see there? It's not a matter of atheism versus theism, not believing in God. The problem is rebellion against the authority of God. Even if God was real and Jesus was real and He really did die, if all that was true, I don't want God in my life. I can get along with that. We're living in a wicked world today. It makes me even more thankful that God has given us a Christian school where we can have some good, positive influence on young people. And it makes me pray more for those who are trying to witness in the public school arena where they may have to fight some battles. But if they can just keep the rotten apple out and keep that right spirit, man, what an impact they can make in a dark world. the associations of this. Unthankfulness is as bad as mockery or hypocrisy. Verse number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, I ain't never worked in an apple orchard. I had several different jobs. No need to go into all that. I had several different jobs along the way, but none of them was apples. We had some peaches growing around our area. I've worked around peaches, but never worked around the apples. But they say that when the people are harvesting the apples and they climbed up in the tree and they got them all, put them in their bag, that they actually have a person that when they go to the next tree, there's a person that comes along behind them that picks up the dropped apples. And on the ground underneath the tree are a few good apples that the person picking the apples might have dropped in the process. But also underneath the tree are some other apples that dropped by themselves before they began the picking process. Those are some of the rotten ones. And they've fallen down and they're laying in the dirt. And that wet part of them right there, it's laying in the dirt, has got that wet rot in them. And so the person picking up the dropped apples has to make sure that they save the good ones and they throw away the bad ones. I want to say to you this morning, let's take a look in our life, not our neighbors, not our spouse, not our parents, not our friends. Let's take a look in our own life and see, is there somewhere in there, among all these things mentioned, is there maybe one rotten apple of unthankfulness? We went through Thanksgiving and I'm sure we all said thank you, but it's down in here in our heart where it needs to really be true. In South Georgia, there's a pretty common thing. It's happened to me many times, especially when it's a certain time of the morning and there's a lot of traffic in our little town here, Ludowice. If you get like at one of the little stores here, like Parker's or Flash Food, if you get there, then there's a long line of traffic. That might be 30 cars long because we have a traffic jam here about 7:15 to 7:30. And you pull up right there and you're waiting for somebody to let you in. Y'all probably seen this at maybe especially with Christmas shopping coming now and all the different special Black Friday and all that kind of stuff, you'll find a whole lot of lines of traffic and you can't get out of the parking lot and trying to get in line. But every now and then, somebody will stop and they'll wave in. You know what you're supposed to do whenever they let you in? You're supposed to wave back and say thank you. I got some dark glass on my windows. It's legal, by the way. But I like it. Here's what I do. It can be 20 below outside, probably. I'm going to let that window down. I want them to see that, Danny. I want them to see me wave and say, thank you. Appreciate it. Sometimes just a hand up. I don't actually say it. I just appreciate it. Right, go on. But every now and then, I'll let somebody out. And they won't do that. And I don't usually say, Lord, bless them today. May they have a wonderful day. No, I used to think, you sorry thing. You've been sitting there for at least 40 cars. I finally let you out. The least you could do was throw up your hand and say thank you. I wonder sometime if I could use that as a crude illustration of God stops the world every now and then and blesses us and puts us and moves us and directs us. And we just go on our way without ever even waving our hand back. So, Lord, thank you. I bet you got something that you could stop and say, Lord, thank you. I appreciate that, Lord. Thank you for being good to me. Oh, God, you're good to me. Think about it. It might be your children. It might be your spouse. It might be your church family. There's something you can stop. Maybe your health. Lord, just so this morning, could I ask you just to throw your hand up somewhere along the way in the invitation, hit an altar here and say, Lord, just throw your hand up and say thank you for blessing.